Hello, welcome to the Lean of Plants podcast. My name is Chelsea, and if you are struggling to lose weight on a plant-based diet, then this podcast is for you. While there are thousands of books, podcasts, and resources about the benefits of a plant-based diet, the reality is that being vegan does not guarantee losing weight. If you are feeling frustrated and confused about where to start, or you know exactly what you should be doing, but you just can't seem to rustle up enough willpower to do it, then keep listening. In this podcast, you'll learn the truth about plant-based weight loss, but just as importantly, how to use proven methods of behavioral change to turn what you know into lifelong habits that lead to getting and staying lean. Can't wait to get started. Let's do this. Ramona, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I'm so excited to talk to you because you are not a 20-year-old influencer that has all of your meals like beautiful and everything. Like, you're someone who is in that slightly older demographic of being like postmenopausal, turning 60 next month. Happy birthday, by the way. And you've still managed to lose about 20 pounds. You've found a system that's sustainable for you. So welcome. Excited to have you here.
Thank you.
Tell me about what your dieting history is. Like, who were you previous to this?
Well, I never was really heavy as far as, you know, being considered obese, but I would just get to points where I'd be heavy, too heavy for my frame, and I would go on quick diets. Like, that would usually, they used to work, you know. Like, I tried the Weight Watchers and intermittent fasting several ways, like sometimes where it would be 2 days a week not eating, or just one meal a day, and then, or eating windows. I did something called USANA, which was pills and shakes, and something called Sacred Heart Diet, which was kind of like a cabbage tomato soup, and just like a lot of things that would be quick results and lots of cardio. So when I got into the menopause stage, those things weren't responding. My body wasn't responding to them quick like it used to. So kind of scared me.
So you've done like quite a few diets, and what would happen when you'd finish doing them? Or what was the kind of cycles or patterns that you'd see?
I would be happy with how I looked for a while, and it would just slowly creep on. Like, I weighed 121 pounds when I got married 11 years ago. And then I got up as high as 154, because I'm not a person who eats when I'm sad or under stress. I got married and had a great marriage, and I got like what I considered happy fat. I just started like a quarter pound a month, 3 pounds a year, not noticeable until all of a sudden it was like noticeable. And it was like, yeah.
When did you start to see that on you and realize that you wanted to make some changes?
I think it was like around 3 years after I got married. I started noticing that I'm, you know, just a little, my clothes are fitting a bit too tight. I don't like this. And so I'd go back to some of the diets that I used to do. They would work out for a little bit, but it seemed like I got stuck in the 140 range. So that seemed like I could not get out of 147-ish. That'd be as low as I'd get, which was better than, you know, over 150, but it wasn't where I wanted to be at all.
Did you have any influence from the kind of targeting that like women in that age bracket get, where you start to think, okay, this is just because of menopause, I have to get on some certain pills or do a certain diet because of the stage of life I'm at?
No, I wasn't doing what like most of the people that I knew that were saying menopause changes your system and you can't really lose anymore. They were all really, really large women, and I wasn't going to take advice from them. So I was just trying to find a better way, and I would just keep walk for like hours and do things that I you know, I've always liked vegetables, and so I'd seem to lose during the summer because I have a big garden and that kind of thing, and drank a lot of smoothies. But yeah, this is way better for me, and it's improving itself because we are almost at a year now. So yeah.
So what, when you started to come into the kind of lean of plants world or learn about calorie density, where were you at that point? What was going through your head? What was your situation?
I'm really not sure how I stumbled upon it, but it was Healthy Emmy was the first one that I was listening to. So I just downloaded some YouTube videos, and when I would go walking, I'd be listening to this. And it was really, one thing leads to another. Like they start to realize you like that, so they'll send more, and that's how I found you. And I was listening to this and thinking, this makes so much sense. And I didn't like low carb diets because I love potatoes. But you know, I had also done that. I had done, well, I think it was called Atkins, which is pretty similar to keto. So I didn't want to do that because that just rules out so many things. And have you ever heard of summer sizing,
No, I
which is
haven't.
food combining? So Suzanne Somers wrote a book, and I had read it, and it's like you could have carbs with vegetables, and you could have protein with vegetables, but never proteins and carbs together. And so you couldn't have beans because they have a bit of both. You know, and at one point I had lost weight on that too, but I liked this because it was just, you know, you could eat till you were really full. And then that I have a great capacity for a lot of food.
Okay, so you, and I know you mentioned to me that you actually started losing weight when you joined the free Kickstarter course that I have.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not exactly sure how much, but I know that it was working, and I know that I was feeling really good. It made me feel good. I wasn't getting sleepy after eating.
What do you think changed for you in terms of like what were you? If someone's listening to this right now and they're going like, oh yeah, like what, I'm in the same kind of age bracket or I've tried all these things as well. If you can pinpoint what you actually started to do differently, what would that be?
They seem so basic now, but like eating a lot of vegetables, and that the boiled potato has the most water in it. So I was having a lot of steamed or boiled potatoes. And then one thing that I didn't do before on any of the diets was eliminate cooking with oil. So that was probably a huge thing because I used to stir fry everything, and then even air fry, you coat it with oil. And cutting that out was hundreds of calories a day, if not more.
So I mean, it sounds like just on a practical day-to-day level, the way that you cooked just started to change and you reduced your calories that way.
Right. And I think it was Healthy Emmy had said, she's the first person I ever heard say, cutting your oatmeal with zucchini. And I thought, oh, what? That sounds so disgusting. But I tried it with a very, very cynical, I'm not gonna like this, you know, approach. And you can barely taste them. Like, and I just pretty much do it half and half now. It's either carrots or zucchinis and my oats, and that's 6 to 7 days a week.
So what other kind of, I love the just building a habit of adding in like veggies and just becoming a veggie muncher. What kind of other habit changes did you start to make?
The dressings on my salads or vegetables or potatoes or anything like that, I just like, I'm so glad that you gave us permission, because I feel like I needed permission to buy hummus instead of always making it. And then one day I just added apple cider vinegar to it and mixed it like a dressing, and that was pretty good. So I just started using that for all my dressings. And then I got some lime once, and I did that instead of apple cider vinegar, and it was excellent. I loved it, and it's so simple that I wouldn't have to prep it in advance or anything. I could just do it. So those, it's the sauces and toppings, I think, really, like no butter on my potatoes anymore and no gravy. Like those things make huge extra calories. So I think just because I believe that maybe it is a thing, metabolism just slows right down to nothing when you're getting older, and you just have to get used to being fluffy. I didn't want to be fluffy.
Yeah, and you've built some pretty significant muscle over the last year or so as well.
I didn't even start working out with the weights till the early December. I just, you know how you say you have to carve out time from somewhere, you got to give up something. And I, crazy thing is, I was walking my dogs every day, and I had a dog that just needed a lot of exercise, and he couldn't be loose because he'd run off. So I had to walk at about an hour a day. So that didn't leave me any time to do strength training. And we sold him and got
Okay.
it. I got a great home for him, and it was like a hard decision. But after that, I just felt like, okay, I can do this now. I can do the machines in the winter time, like the treadmill or the bike, and I can do strength training. And then I found that Carolyn Jervan, that's how you say your name, and I love her workouts because they're very easy to follow and they're not so long, and they really form conscious, so you feel them the next day, but you can still move and carry on. That feeling, I love that.
Yeah, and like it's so cool. I wish we could show this on the podcast, but looking at where you were and where you are today, and I mean, not only have you lost, so you lost weight before coming into the program with the free content and then came into the program, lost 12 pounds, but having built that kind of significant muscle, it shows such a difference in your physique at this point.
Yeah, the back, that surprised me. And I wouldn't have known that except for the progress pictures. I had no idea I was getting muscles in my back and in my shoulders. I didn't. And I mean, it's the progress pictures that let you see that the rolls are gone. I knew I felt better, and I knew I punched a couple extra holes into my belts, but I didn't know what my back looked like. And then I asked my coach, can I start flexing? Because I'd really like to start seeing the difference in that in the weekly pictures, because I can't take them myself. My husband will do that for me. And she said, sure, you can do that. She did it apparently for the last part of her program too, when she was in the program. So, and that's a motivating thing. It's a neat thing when you start seeing month to month the differences. So it's not something you notice right away. And even the weight didn't seem like it was going quickly like some diets do, but it's just never come back, and that's the difference.
Let's dive into that more. Tell me about, first of all, how does that feel to be doing something that you know you can maintain forever this time?
It feels really good and freeing, and just even seeing some of the other members that work out and look amazing. And one of them is my age too, and she's just been doing this for 2 years, and that tells me,
Oh,
oh, in
Kathy, is
2 years,
it?
yeah, I can look like that if I keep going. That's exciting. And now it doesn't seem, so hard to think 2 years. Before, when I was, 150 something, I didn't want to wait 2 years to see a difference. But this is a little bit different mindset, because you're building muscle, and I already see results, but I just know it's only going to get better, and you just keep going. And it's better to have long range goals so that you don't go, okay, as soon as I reach 125, I get to have cheesecake and celebrate.
Do you think that just that feeling of knowing that you have the time, that it's not, you can keep running the race, if you will, that it just changes the way that you think about
It does. And it actually, I'm sure you do this too. Like, it's because you've been through it. You've been through so many things to finally find the simple solution. It's really not complicated. You can keep adding a little bit and tweaking and stuff, but it's really not complicated. And then you just see other people struggling, and you wish they'd listen to you, but you don't want to, they have to come to it themselves, or they have to, they just want to do something that's super extreme and detox and fast and just, eat one food all week long, one thing or something like that. Like, I wished that they would listen, because they want a quick result. But the thing is, they get a result, and then they get back to where they were, and then they do it again, and they get back to where they were. And it's so much nicer to just slow, and it's not even slow, but it's steady. It's just,
yeah,
just that was a little thing that just really is a mindset, and that is consistency trumps intensity every
yeah
time. And that's so true in everything. That's just so true. Keep at stuff. Your house won't get to be a mess if you kind of keep at little picking up after yourself each night, or just so many things. You practice piano every day, you're going to be great at it. You know, like there's just everything. Just keep consistent. It doesn't have to be intense. It doesn't have to be long. It can be 20 minutes. But if you just do it every day, it'll make a difference. And you won't have to go back to zero starting again.
Yeah, that's a hugely different way of looking at it. What, when you think about who you were like previous to that, because obviously the evolution, it takes time, just even from a mental perspective. I remember when I think back, I wanted it so fast because you don't really feel like you have any assurance that you're ever going to get it if you don't see quick progress. So I think that there's something to be said of like, yeah, like let's make as much progress as we possibly can in the beginning. Let's prove to ourselves that this is possible. But what I want to hear from you, Ramona, is what stage or what did you need to get to where this started to make sense to you? Or what was it that you heard that resonated enough for you to actually start to change your behavior? Because there's a lot of people who have listened to this podcast, and sometimes they'll get reviews and people will say, I've been listening to your podcast for 2 years. And I know people listen to this content, but they're still not making that kind of progress. So for you, like, can you pinpoint anything where it was like, this is the light bulb moment, this is the thing that started to change for me, that people can grab onto and start to make those kind of changes themselves?
I don't know if there's like a pinpoint. I know that I started to see results within like only a couple months. I started to see I got out of the 140s within that. I think it was a month and a half. That was huge to me. Then I knew. And I kept thinking, well, I don't know which podcast or when, you know, you probably say it a lot, but you just keep saying it is inevitable. You will reach your goals if you keep doing this. You just will scientifically prove it. You're going to get there. So I just believe that. You go, yeah, I'm going to do that. And the food can be so good too. It can be really delicious. You know, it's not like I'm having to eat rice cakes with nothing on them. I actually love a lot of the meals that I make are delicious. And I've had people come and stay with me, and you know, I'm making them what I'm having, and they're like, oh, I wish you would just cook for me. They feel good and the food tastes good.
Yeah. Well, what does your weekly roster of food, like, what is your meal, what do your meals look like, or your prep system look like?
In the summers, it's a lot of like in the mornings, I probably would switch to being more of a green smoothie, but with some oats in it, but with pineapple in there to make it sweeter. And then lunch, a lot of times it's either a component bowl or I make a whipped squash soup. So it's just frothy and really tastes decadent, but it's light.
Okay.
I mean, I throw some potatoes and things in there that'll make it feel like it'll make you feel full, but it tastes creamy and good, like just with the Vitamix, whipping it till it's frothy.
Okay.
And then supper is the one with more variety, like, and I'll throw a lot of times it'll be maybe potatoes of one some sort on one side and broccoli and carrots on the other, and snacks and stuff in between will be that too, but with hummus. Just snacking on celery and stuff like that, and with hummus. And I have you know, I get a craving for pizza once in a while, and I make it. So I'll make Carrie one kind with this pepperoni and mushrooms and all of the stuff that he likes on it, loaded with cheese. And mine will be more like a really thin flatbread. And I load it up with the chopped broccoli and celery. I'm not celery, cherry tomatoes and peppers and stuff like that, and tomato sauce. And it gets me through that craving. It actually tastes really good. And then on the other half of the plate will be, instead of the way I used to eat pizza, you know, the big gooey, the cheese stream back, and you eat till you gotta lay down. Feel greasy afterwards. This has no grease feeling. And I'll maybe have one or two pieces of that. And then just that'll be one meal till they can either freeze it or just kind of keep grabbing that one for one of the meals, but half or three quarters of my plate will be vegetables.
Right.
So I feel full. I get my craving satisfied and didn't go without on pizza night, you know.
Yeah, I mean, just hearing everything that you're saying, it's very apparent to me why you've been so successful. It's like you're eating low calorie dense foods. You've got meals that are effortlessly getting you into a calorie deficit. Did you have any challenges of once you knew what to do and where you needed to change, actually implementing that and creating new habits or dealing with cravings?
I think I'm really lucky that my husband is super supportive of this, and he doesn't, we don't go through drive-throughs for takeout food that I can't have anything. So we found Subway, and Subway, you can make rice bowls and pick all the vegetables and the things that you want, and the pineapple and banana peppers, all that stuff. And I just say no cheese and no meat, and just like, it tastes good, it's filling, and he can have all that he wants to have at that, and we still are getting to go out. You
That's
know,
such a good little nugget. I had no idea Subway did that.
Oh yeah, it's delicious.
That sounds really
You
good.
Yeah, it's kind of like a wild grain rice mix. It's a blend. And they give you, yeah. So I love that. Like he, I don't have somebody trying to sabotage my eating. You know, like, you know, sometimes there's grandkids' birthday parties and stuff, and I'll just know, okay, I'm gonna have a cupcake there, but I'm right on track. As soon as that cupcake is eaten, I'm back to me being the way I want to be. Like, I love that. Also, there's been so many little things over the year, right? Don't miss twice. You know, don't screw up twice in a row. Don't miss two workouts in a row, that kind of thing. And a pretty much stick to that, and that makes a big difference. You just don't get derailed. And I also don't love to have, there's this bit of a confusion or wrestling with, you know, on one hand, you know, I've heard you say to announce to people what you, how you are and what you do, so that they understand, and you've also kind of made an accountability thing. But I've like a kind of was approaching it like, I'm not telling everybody what I'm doing. I'll let the results speak for themselves. If I get results, then they'll start asking. I just didn't want to have all the conversations where people are going to say, where are you getting your protein from, and or negative things, or all the opinions that I don't really want. I just want to do my thing, and then they'll notice if it's working. That's when we'll have the conversation.
Yeah. Did you have any pushback with that? Like, did you have anyone notice what you were doing, or any awkward times going to events or eating out?
I went to Colorado to my niece's in the summer, but she was wonderful. She just had, I didn't want to tell her I needed anything special. I would just adjust, you know, with what I had once I got there, but she wanted to know in advance. I guess my sister had told her I was eating differently and stuff. And so she wanted to know what I can and can't have.
Right.
And I don't like the word can't, because it's not like I just choose not to, but I can. But she runs a lodge, like a retreat place, and she's used to customizing food for different people. And she just made the most delicious things while I was there, like component bowls and, you know, grilling pineapple spears and things that were just really good, component bowls and salads. And, you know, she knew I liked potatoes, so we do a lot of that too, and yams. So I didn't have pushback on it, but I just, I heard, like, I stayed at a friend, and actually it was a friend that before she had lost a bunch of weight when I saw her, and I wasn't where I'm at. I said, what did you do? And she was on Weight Watchers. So I joined Weight Watchers and I had never seen her be so slim. And then the next time I went, she was back to being heavy and she was looking at me and she's like, what did you do? But I am so thankful that it's not going to be bouncing back and forth, you know, anymore. I am convinced this is it. This is the one and done lifestyle because I like it. I like it and I could see staying with it. It's not like a diet. It's not a diet. It's just that I just eat this way.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing that I'm kind of taking away so far from you is that, like, you've built such consistent habits around this that, and you like it, that it's not, it doesn't feel like a daily struggle of being tempted by things or wanting to go off plan or anything like that. It's like, this is just how I eat now.
Yeah. And I mean, I remember asking Janelle, like, so can I have this? And she said, you can have whatever you want, Ramona. It depends on how bad you want to get to where you want to be. I was like, oh, well, okay. Yes, that really comes to the point. Like, yeah, why did I want a bunch of rules? I just need to decide how bad do you want it? And then I would come to my own conclusions, like, so this is how I want to look. This is how I want to feel. This is clothes I want to wear. That's a long-range goal. Whereas this is a cupcake I want to eat. I'm going to have that taste in my mouth for a minute. And then I'm not going to reach the long-range goal because I just had to have that instant gratification of something. Won't make me feel good an hour from now. Like it just started to be like, think it through for a minute, take a pause and decide how important is this?
Did you have any mantras that helped you do that, or any triggers that when you were in those moments, you had something to say to yourself to remind you of your goals?
I would just say, how bad do you want it? Like, how bad do you want to get to where you want to be? Like, how long do you want to take to get there?
That's so
If you keep
interesting.
going back and forth to, but I really want this right now, then you must not want that very badly. Yes, I do. Okay. It was like two Ramonas, one is logical and
Have you ever had anything like that before? Like, what if you contrast that to the way that you used to see dieting? Because it's very, like you say, it's not rule based. But for someone coming in, that's quite hard to understand. It's like, well, if I don't have rules, how do I make decisions about things? Can you, like, quantify that a bit deeper so that our listeners can understand what that looks like for you?
I would just try to find a substitute that, like, if I really wanted something sweet. Well, I found these dark chocolate covered figs and I looked at the calorie content on it. Yeah, I'm not going to get full on this, but if I really need something sweet, three of them are 70 calories. They're two ingredients. Like, that's it. Okay. I choose that or hot chocolate. You know, something like that will get me through that. Craving for something sweet. And even, you know, the hot chocolate, I might have it a little more water in it than I don't put 3 tablespoons like it says on the back. I put two, you know, and just those kind of little adjustments. And if I'm hungry, that is not the time to go into that's when you eat your potato. That's when you get that bulk down. And then, yeah. There's like I definitely have had a lot of people saying, "Well, you can eat a lot." Yeah, you're eating so much and you're losing. It's fantastic.
That is very fascinating. I like that you've made that distinction between what the purpose of different foods are and just having that, hey, for fullness, for satisfaction, I need to eat potatoes, I need to eat that bulk. And then when it comes to cravings, how can I satisfy the craving in the best possible way? Not how can I ignore it completely, it sounds like.
Right. Because you're not going to do that ignoring forever. You just won't. Like, yeah, we are kind of weak when it comes to that. You have to find ways to just make it work. Because if you just try, I could not do, there's some people that are super strong, but I could not do the one meal a day thing. I couldn't limit, like, cut out whole food groups, like, you know, the no starches. Like, I just forget it. I know I won't stick with it. I could do it for a week, maybe.
Yeah, did you have when you first started doing this, because it's such a different mentality to a typical diet where you have a rule and you're saying like, oh, well, can I eat that? Or no, can I eat this? No. And then you get a craving for something and it's like, well, what do I do this? I just have to kind of wait it out. And then you end up having a binge. How do you in your mind or develop this where you had been able to quantify that it was okay to make a better decision rather than a perfect decision? How did you get to
Right.
the point of realizing that that was something that was actually positive to do?
Oh, it was the things like the next best thing. Okay, I really want French fries, so I if I have a time, I'll make them in my air fryer, and not, or I will have baked French fries, maybe even from a bag, but I will have 3/4 of my plate be vegetables. I just
Right.
like I get what I want. But I'm not going to be a pig about it. I'm going to figure it out, or I will make it from just the potato in the air fryer, and then I can eat all I want. So it's the next best thing, and it's also the little wins. So even what was one just the other day, I thought I didn't really, I felt like at first, like I sort of blew something, and then I thought, no, you didn't, because consider what you would have done a year ago.
Right.
You would have had three of those, and you would have had, a pop to drink it down, like a soda. There's just so many things I would have done that were extras. Like, I mean, I never eat like a grilled cheese sandwich. That's not on the radar anymore at all, because that's bread, that's butter, that's cheese. It's like all those things. Don't do that one. I
Yeah.
have to, yeah.
Well,
So I guess there are some that I don't do, but I don't think of it as that. I just think there's so many other things that I can do.
it's like the next best mindset is something that we talk about so much inside of Lean with Plants. And it's this really funny concept that you kind of don't expect to work. But when you see it in action and you say, hey, the starting point is my habits now, the starting point or the bar, if you will. The standard is not some hypothetical perfect person that I have never been for any extended period of time. The only bar that's set is my previous behavior. So if I'm going to normally have a binge, having three chocolate colored fi covered figs instead of it is an awesome choice. Like the it doesn't have to be perfect because it's awesome. And then you go, well, hey, I can celebrate that because now I'm actually making progress. Whereas I think typically what we do, and the reason that so many diets fail is that we have to be perfect. And then the moment that we're not, we've completely blown it. And we feel like crap. And then we'll go, okay, well, I'm going to give up now.
And that's sad. That's you go to all that work and so much deprivation, and then you give up after, like, what's the point? One of the other things I was thinking, I mean, maybe you're gonna get to that, but habits as far as how that's helped.
Yeah, tell me about the habits you've developed. I want to hear all about that.
Well, I mean, I've listened to Atomic Habits twice on Audible while I've been walking. So that's a big book, and I've listened to it two full times through. So it's about 16 hours of him talking and just realizing how those little things, like a slight degree off course, if you just keep going in that direction, you will be so far off course pretty soon with a bad habit. Or the positive would be with the good habit. You can get to where you want to be. Little adjustments. So walking and adding those books was one habit stacking thing. I would look forward to the books because I didn't have time to sit down and read that much, but I could justify it because I'm walking while I was listening. So I still do that, and I will listen to the podcast, and I will listen to YouTube videos while I'm maybe doing my painting in the studio or doing housework. I'll have earbuds in and be listening. So I'm learning and doing. And then I started a skincare routine. So in between the steps, I will do, you're supposed to wait for it to dry a little bit. soak in, and then you do the next step. So while it's doing that, I'll be doing counter push-ups in the bathroom.
Oh, wow.
20, and then okay, it's dry, do the next step, brush my teeth, do the next another set of 20. And like stair. I don't like doing push-ups on my knees, so I've started doing them on the steps. So you're at a incline, and then to get stronger, you can go down, have your hands go down one more step until eventually you're plank on the floor, which is a long ways from where I'm at now. But it's still, I still feel the same muscles are being worked. It's just that I'm not strong yet to go. But 2 years from now, I will be.
Let's go into that a bit more as well, because like I love the mindset pieces. I love the habit stacking and the next best, and I think like all of those things really are consistently the behaviors of people that we see get successful. And it's not just inside of Lean with Plants. I see it everywhere now, and I wonder if you're the same. You read a book of someone who's achieved something, or you follow someone who does something, and you're like, oh yeah, I see those kind of things coming through. I see the little gamifying their systems and all of these different things that we talk about. I want to hear physically for you, how has developing strength training impacted you, especially as someone who is postmenopausal?
Well, I mean, I never really did it before. I really didn't. I think I maybe tried in my 20s for a little bit, and that's so long ago. And then I mean, my husband works out with weights. He's just annoyingly disciplined. I mean, he used to be kind of like, I'm impressed and I'm slightly annoyed that you're so disciplined. Well, he works out, he does like 300 push-ups a day, and he and like with his feet up higher on the steps and stuff. So there's, I've seen what that's done for him over the last, I guess he's been doing that about 14 years, 12, 14 years. But I had never done anything like that, and I never had muscle definition in my arms at all. And but they were slim, they were just like youth. Your youthful arms, so just hanging there straight and doing what they're supposed to do. And then one day I just caught a glimpse of in the mirror, like the bat wings, the and marbly fat. Like it was just, oh my goodness, how did that happen? When did that happen? I was horrified, and it obviously had been there for a while. I just never noticed. And I thought, I've got to start doing something. So it took a little while of just trying some different things, tricep extensions and stuff, until I found the YouTube videos. And then there was actual guidance, and that really helps me. And I just kind of go, kind of alternate ones with her, with Carolyn. And since I've been doing them since December, I have gone up in weights from 5 to 8 pounds. Now to 12 and 15. Some things I can only do, the 8 or 9 pounds yet, but like the shoulder ones, those flies, those are harder. But the other ones, I've gotten a little bit stronger and can do them and feel them more. And it's encouraging because I know I'm pushing, I'm fighting that breakdown of muscle. I'm building them back up again. And someone I'd heard about creatine, and I started to add that just to be able to, I don't know if it works, but it's supposed to help you have a bit more, be able to do more intense workouts. But I'm not like just lifting a bit heavier and stuff. But I think really it comes down to just doing the daily thing.
Having those habits in place. It always comes back to habits, doesn't it? Like all of these things are great, Anna. I always hear from people wanting to optimize their diet, or they want to know, like, can I eat this? Can I eat that? What's the best thing for me to do? How am I going to lose weight the quickest? And it's like at the end of the day, unless you've built a foundation of repetition on anything, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter if you go to the gym for an hour or half an hour. It doesn't matter what ab exercises you do. You just got to show up.
Showing up, that's exactly right. Just keep doing it. And like I love that you've admitted, Sometimes you just walk through the gym door and then you leave, like,
Yeah.
or 5 minutes. Because there are times, you know, like, there are times you just don't feel like it, and you're yawning as you're exercising because it's not, you're not just all in it, right? But
Yeah.
as much as possible, I try to get there, even if it's like, just okay, I need a new playlist because I'm like just slugging away here, just going
Yeah.
slow. I need to get pumped up a little bit. But yeah, those are the strength training, I think, is so important. And I love the idea that there is now hope on the horizon that I can build up nice, shapely, strong arms, and I don't have to accept that, you know, people over 60 start, you know, getting flabby and they can't lose weight and you just start to die. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I've always been a dreamer and a goal setter and somebody just, I wouldn't even know if there weren't mirrors, I wouldn't know I was any different than I was 20 years ago. Like, I feel the same, you know?
I love that so much. And I mean, I think everyone, everyone is, we've only really got this one little body to do life in. It is going to be aging. And we can't change and stop that, but we can change our response to it. And maybe it is harder to lose weight. Like, we do burn less calories as we age. We do have less muscle mass, which is also going to make us burn less calories. We typically move less. There's so many different things that contribute to it potentially being harder as you age. But that's, in some ways, it's irrelevant. It's like, it doesn't matter how hard this is. What matters is what you can do to change the outcome or the trajectory of where you are now and change it to be moving in the direction of where you want to go. So for someone, Ramona, who's listening to this, who's in that kind of 60s age bracket, postmenopausal, they don't feel the same level of hope that you do. What would be your top three pieces of advice for that woman listening?
To stay away from like extremes and just you can get better. I mean, and there's people that I know already that I'm in better shape than who are 20 years younger than me. Like, I know that you can be the best version of you now if you just consistently build some good habits and stick to them. And they don't have to be so hard that you can't move the next day. Like, just keep doing the thing. And you'll get stronger, but just rather than think about the hour you don't have, think about the 20 minutes you do have and do the 20 minutes. And I make up that oatmeal thing that I said. I make up at least a week's supply at a time in my Instant Pot, and I put them in portion size Ziploc bags and throw them in the freezer. And I just had learned that you could freeze them. What? This is changing. Thing. So I always have that, even if it's going to be lunch one day. It might be all that I have handy right now, and then I don't feel any guilt, and I know I'm still on track, doing awesome. I feel full. You know, that's what it comes down to. I want to feel full, and I never thought you could have jam anymore because, like, you know, I'm not eating bread, but I can put jam on my oatmeal, and I'm excited now about buying jam.
Have you seen the people put jam on sweet potato? Like the
Oh, I've
purple
done
sweet
that.
potato? Is it good?
Oh yeah, it's very good. You can cook a yam and then put a banana slice on it and a little bit of maple syrup and some cinnamon. You've got like a decadent, really feels indulging, like you're being bad, but you're not.
I love that. Building habits and then working on them over time. What would be number two for you?
Let's see. Don't miss two. Don't miss two. Okay. Everybody has a day or something interrupts their day, or they blow up one meal in some way they feel like they did. And that's okay because we're human, but just get back on track immediately. Like, just immediately. And then you don't lose ground. You don't, like, you know, if you weighed yourself the next morning, yeah, maybe you're up a pound. 2 days later, you're under what you were, you know, if you just got right back on track.
I love that. And number three, what would that be?
I would say just have a made up mind. Like, if you do like I did with a picture of yourself the way you were, or how where you want to get back to, or somebody who's got that, you know, within reason, the body type that you would like to, they're at physically where you want to be, you know, just cut that out, put it with chop their heads off and put yours on it or something. And so see how, you know, what's possible, and just give yourself that. It's a little bit of, you know, it's motivation, but just keep going. Just keep going. Just remember that consistency is the very most important thing. And it doesn't have to be like drinking apple cider vinegar with cayenne pepper and things to boost your metabolism, and just like crazy things that are so intense that I have done. It doesn't have to be that way. You can just eat good food, and the results will come. Like, don't be afraid of the potato.
Yeah, that's a big one, eh? Especially for everyone I talk to who has been dieting for a significant period of time is they're just so flippin' scared of potatoes.
Yeah, it's so sad.
It's the ultimate weight loss food. It's filling, it's low in calories. If you're scared of potatoes, it's because of the stuff that we typically put on them. It's not the potato itself.
Yeah, and when I had a road trip from Colorado back here to Saskatchewan, it was 3 days. My sister and I would eat in a restaurant once per day, and the other times we had groceries from the grocery store. So I had microwave yam or sweet potatoes. I had the oatmeal in the cup that you just stop at a gas station, get hot water in there. And I was leading her by just example. She's sort of, once in a while she'd get something that she'd think she'd want, but then she'd feel bad about herself, and pretty soon she just started doing what I was doing. She'd say she's gonna get a bracelet that WW Ramona, what would Ramona do?
I love that. That's that's so cool.
The cooking without oil is huge, and the salad dressing without oil, like, that's just a small thing, one adjustment that you won't miss, because you can saute everything with and just throw some spices in it. You won't miss the oil, and you'll just lose without even trying with that one adjustment.
Final thoughts. If you could go back in time and tell yourself something today from what you've learned, or you could tell our listeners one thing that's going to have a huge impact on their journey, what would that be?
I think learn to love your vegetables, and it is so good for you. You'll feel better, like your stomach, your skin, everything will feel better, and you lose weight in the process if you just like try the one thing of 50-50 on your plate. Like, that's huge. And if you just don't want to have a whole bunch of things to follow, think about that one thing for a while, and you'll notice, at least I sure noticed, that I had energy and I felt good, and I started to feel like my skin was looking better. And my hair grew. I don't know if that's a thing. It's actually never been long like this. Like, it just started growing.
It looks so healthy.
Yeah, I've been told it is. My hairdresser said that's what I was doing. I don't know. I'm eating a lot of vegetables. Is that?
I love that. Very simple advice.
Yeah, simple. There's little things, like, I didn't know maybe that once you get down into, you're just going for the final few pounds, you know, that you could make the difference with steel cut oats, adding that. I half and half them sometimes, just because they're a bit more chewy than your slow cooking oats, or so, you know, there's things like that, or adding a bit more squash instead of potatoes. But slow and steady, even with those, with the original version, still will get the results. I think I would tell myself, hey, you know, a year ago when I was feeling like I didn't, I would just see pictures and I would be mad at myself. It's just mad, because you just blame yourself. If you could just be better, you wouldn't be in this situation or have more control or something. I just really felt like I was failing somehow, that I would have gained this much weight. Like, to tell myself, you just need to make these adjustments, and a year from now, you'll have given away your big pants, and you'll be buying some cute smaller pants, and you'll feel a lot better. You know, and I never thought at the beginning that I would be doing strength training. That's just something in the last not even half a year, and now I'm really, really enjoying that a lot. And I'm seeing whether or not the number on the scale changes. I know the body shape is changing. And that's really what it's more importantly about. You don't walk around with a number on you.
That's, I mean, you've just made so many, it's such an inspiration really to just see how far you've come and what can happen when you prioritize habits, you stay consistent, and you just keep showing up.
Keep showing up.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today, sharing your wisdom. I found it incredibly valuable. So many little nuggets, just even the Subway one. I thought that was awesome. Just not missing twice. Absolutely huge. Just using the 20 minutes you have rather than the hour that you don't. Like so many little action steps. So I can't wait for our listeners to hear this as well. And I'm just really, really grateful. And I'm excited to see where this journey takes you over the next year.
Yes, me too. And 2 years from now, I'm going to look like Kathy.
Yeah. Kathy is
Shoulders like
goals.
her. Yeah.
Awesome.
Well,
Thank you,
thank you.
Ramona.
Talk to you later.